بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 28th of September in the year 2017. And الحمد لله, we moved on to the 136th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh. And I've been spending quite a few sessions taking a glimpse into some of his priceless and blessed words of wisdom. So in continuation, with regards to dua or supplication, the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anh would encourage it in congregation. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat 3-275, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 1-53, Al-Aswad ibn Hilal al-Muharibi rahmatullah alayhi relates, when Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu was made the Khalif, he stood on the pulpit and he said, "O people, I am now going to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore say Ameen in witness to it." He then supplicated, "O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, I am rough, so soften me. I am miserly, make me generous. I am weak, make me strong." And the congregation said, "Ameen." So let's look at this blessed report. So in this authentic report, he's just become the Khalif. So he's the first day of his Khilafat. And what does he order the people to do? To make a congregational dua. Basically, I'm going to make a dua, all of you say Ameen. Make it a congregational dua. And of course, in the dua, he's showing his great humility. He was saying, "I am rough, soften me." So that's obviously a correct statement. "I am miserly, make me generous." He was one of the most generous companions. "I am weak, make me strong." Your guess is as good as mine. But note, he was encouraging the congregational dua. Those, where are those ignoramuses who would dare to inform Sayyidina Umar radiallahu that a collective dua is forbidden in Islam? Consider also the words of the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 10 verse 89. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قَدْ أَجِيبَتِ الدَّعْوَتُكُمَا. The supplication of the two of you has been answered. So in the holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, قَدْ أَجِيبَتِ الدَّعْوَتُكُمَا. The dua of your two have been answered. So this is talking about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam making a dua with Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. In a Hakim in his Mustadrak, Ibn Mardawih, Ibn Jarir, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, 3-315, Ibn Kathir in their respected tafsirs, Al-Fath al-Bari, Abdullah Ibn Abbas and Anas, radiyallahu anhum, they both related, it was only Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, who was supplicated, whilst Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was simply saying Ameen. That was the mode. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was making the dua, and the Holy Prophet Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, he was only saying Ameen. Question. He was only saying Ameen. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? The dua of both of you have been answered. So what does that teach you? That when you say Ameen to a dua, is as good as if you're making the dua. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, after reciting the above verse, he commented in Fath al-Bari, "Thus the one saying Ameen is also considered an invocant." The one saying Ameen is also making dua. Ata simply put it, rahmatullah alayhi, in Sahih Bukhari, saying Ameen is a dua. Saying Ameen is a dua. And similarly, in the authentic report, just to mention the reference, in Tabarani in his Kabir 4-21, Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-347, Sahih Daruqutni Al-Haythami in Majma' Al-Zawaid 10-170 states, The narrators in his chain are those of Bukhari and Muslim, except for Ibn Lahia, rahmatullah alayh, who is fair in his narrations. However, the hadith masters, rahimahumullah, have stated that Ibn Lahia, rahmatullah alayh's narrations are sahih when he relates from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn Wahb, Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Mukri, as is the case here. So simply put, in layman terms, this hadith is sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim, but there's a narrator in it who's authentic, but not at the level of Bukhari and Muslim, whose name is Ibn Lahia. However, even that narrator who's Hassan himself, authentic himself, if he narrates from three particular teachers, then he's also a flawless narrator. The three he narrates, which upgrades him to the most authentic, is Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn Wahb, Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Mukri. And he narrates this from one of the three, meaning that this hadith is actually sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. So what's the report? Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no group assembles, one of them supplicating, whilst the others say Ameen, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then answers them. Subhanallah. No group assembles, one of them supplicating, the others saying Ameen, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them. Meaning, it's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want a dua to get basically more strength, make it congregational. Why? Because the dua will be answered. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah likes congregation. For example, if you look at the salah, the hadith, Tabarani, authentic, the Prophet ﷺ said, the salat of two in congregation is better than four praying singularly. The salat of four in congregation is better than eight praying singularly. The salat of eight in congregation is better than 100 praying singularly. So obviously, keeping that pattern, the dua is the same. And that's why the Holy Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was making the dua, and his noble brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was merely saying Ameen. Why? Because they know. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious said, I have answered the dua of both of you. So when he was making the dua to destroy Firaun, Harun was saying Ameen to it, meaning double, making your doubly as powerful. So note, these reports indicate that the congregational dua is encouraged. In addition, in Ibn Majah, sahih to the criteria of Muslim. Ibn Khuzaymah 1-287, sahih. Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, page 242. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu, she relates that her illustrious and unparalleled husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Jews do not envy you for anything as much as they envy you for salam and ameen. Subhanallah. The Jews are not envious of you for anything as much as they envy you for salam and ameen. It kills them. So when you're saying salam to each other, assalamu alaikum, the Prophet ﷺ said, it really, really hurts the Bani Israel, because they know that this is our teachings. And also, what also hurts them when you say ameen? Those, look how interesting. What is the difference between those that oppose collective du'as and the unbelievers that envy the Muslims for saying Ameen? So if somebody says to you, for example, you shouldn't make congregational du'as. So obviously, the congregational du'as are fine, encouraged. But if you set it, there's problems with this. So for instance, if you keep making the congregational du'a, that's problematic. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, you make a spontaneous congregational du'a. If you make a congregational du'a, there's no harm in this, it's encouraged. But if a person has a problem with that, because you shouldn't make congregational du'as, the scholars ask this question. They go, who are troubled by congregational du'as? The Jews, because they envy you for Ameen. The Ameen is used for the congregational du'a. Because then what's the difference between you and the Jews? Meaning, this is an illness. So note, Sayyidina Umar, from day one, when he made that beautiful opening dua, he told them, all of you say Ameen. to my dua, I to further give it the potential of being answered graciously by our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, in dua he's teaching us as well, the great Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. In another report it mentions, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi in his Munabbihat, in the chapter on counsel in nights, Sayyidina Umar, he warned about the shayateen. And he said, the progeny, i.e. the offspring of shaitan, are nine. Zalitun, Wathim, Laqus, Awan, Hafaf, Murrah, Al-Musawwit, Dasim, and Walhan. So Sayyidina Umar said, these are the offspring of the shaitan, meaning these are his generals. These are the ones that cause great harm to the Muslims and to humanity at large. Then he went on to explain who these were. Zalitun commands the markets and he unfolds his banner therein. He is the one who's causing mischief in the marketplaces. Wathim commands catastrophes. He triggers catastrophes. He provokes people to commit certain sins to bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awan, he commands rulers. He provokes the tyrants to cause mischief, which ends up causing great harm to the people. Hafaf, he commands khamr, intoxicants, drugs. Murrah, he commands licentious music. He's in charge of music. Laqus commands the Magians, those who worship fire. Al-Musawwit commands false news, which he puts in the mouths of people whilst they do not know its origin. He causes people to spread lies, slanders. Dasim, he commands dwellings. If a man were thus to enter his house without greeting his wife and family with As-Salam and mentioning the name of Allah the Exalted, then Dasim will cause a separation between husband and wife such that it leads to divorce, separation or violence. And as for Walhan, he whispers in people's ears during wudu, salah and other acts of worship. Subhanallah. So all of this was from Sayyidina Umar, and he's describing who are the shayateen involved for all this havoc. So let's look at this very briefly. So who's in command of the markets? Zalitun. What are there any problems with markets? Yes. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, try not to be the first to enter the market and try not to be the last to leave, for this is what shaitan does. Our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Darukutni Hasan Riyad al-Salihin, shaitan lays his eggs in marketplaces, meaning he's hatching plots to destroy you. Our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people working in markets, give sadaqah, because you may have said something untoward. So it's also the place where you can easily deceive people. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Al-Madinah, they were ripping people off left, right, and center in the marketplaces. And he warned them. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed the surah, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَفِّفِينَ, woe to those who deal in fraud. And then they became very particular. So now, who is actually calling people to these sins in markets? A shaitan called Zalitun. Imagine in the stock markets. And this is why when you go to the market, what do you notice? Well, look, it's not a coincidence. You walk straight into a market, supermarket, let's say. What do you hear? Music. Who's told them to put music on? So their psychologists say, oh, this helps them to linger about a bit more in the market. They'll end up buying stuff. No, it's Zalitun. As soon as you walk in, he's now giving you shaitan zikr. Right? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith, whoever goes to the market and says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, he will graciously be given 1 million good deeds, 1 million sins forgiven. One report says the ranks are elevated and you will be given a palace in paradise. And this is an authentic report. Why? Because you've gone into the place where shaitan is strong and you're doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in a place of negligence, Allah ta'ala increases the rewards of dhikr. So note who's in charge of the market? Zalitun. Think about this. The second, Wathim, he commands catastrophes. So what does this mean? Our beloved messenger mentioned on various occasions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you commit this sin, this will lead to this. If you commit this sin, for instance, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sunans, if you cheat in scales, you will be given corrupt rulers over you. Think about that. Of course, stupid the people are. They think that, but you know, I've squeezed 20, 30 pounds extra out here today. Well done. You're going to get a tyrant over you. Now, who's the one causing these catastrophes? Wathim. He's the one whispering. Because yes, they don't know about clothes. Quickly, you know, give them the less quality clothes. Foodstuff. The Prophet entered the market, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw a person selling some foodstuff. And on the top, it was all fresh. But when he was giving from the bottom, which was kind of moist. And then the Prophet said, what's this? And then he goes, he who deceives is not one of us. Now, what is this? This is Wathim. And he causes catastrophes. He leads to catastrophes. Another example, the Prophet said, if people become promiscuous, start acting like animals, fulfilling their sexual desires, they will then be given illnesses which their fathers will not have heard of. Look at the history of sexually transmitted diseases. Who is the one causing this? Wathim, causing catastrophe. Third, Awan commands the rulers. The Prophet said, there's a special place reserved in hell for the tyrants. Meaning, they're obviously looking to the history. But who is this? This is a person causing great harm to the people. Tyrant, and it's a shaitan egging him on. Think about that. Fourth, Hafaf. When you ask a person, who's the don of drugs? You notice there's a hierarchy in the drug world. Who's the don? So they goes, this guy in Colombia. Because what do you think? Is this guy in Brazil? This guy here? No. It's Hafaf. Hafaf, he's the emir of drugs. Look at the destruction drugs causes. Who's in charge? One of Shaitan's progeny, Hafaf. Murrah. He's in charge of music. All these, look at the state of these people. Look at the things that they do, they promote in their lyrics. Once they showed a band, a group playing, and they were playing in a children's, it was what you call it, one of the children programs that you get in the afternoon. And they forgot to check the lyrics. So they're just singing. And in the lyrics, they were talking about fornication, incest, and God knows what. Then the complaints came flooding in. Think about that. Now, who is this? This is the shaitan. What's his name? Murrah. And look at all the things that these people have to do. They make these silly symbols with their hands. These musicians, right? The hierarchy. Who are they calling to? This shaitan called Murrah. He's in charge of music. Who's in charge of the Magians? Lakus. The Magians, the fire worshippers. In the past, they had a great stronghold, the Persians. They were stronger than the Roman Empire. Think about that. Who was in charge? Lakus, until Khalid bin Walid saw Anama. Lakus, then Kacha came off, right? But obviously, they still got problems. They're still there. Al-Musawwit. Now, this is a very interesting shaitan. He commands false news, and he puts it in the mouths of people. They don't know its origin. So a person goes, well, is that a big thing? One of the Salaf said, a slanderer can cause more harm in an hour what a magician cannot do in a year. Think about it. You're a magician. Somebody goes heavily into the black arts. What can you do in a year? Take out nations. And he goes, right, this person's, give him an hour. He'll cause more harm. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Authentic hadith. It is enough to be called a liar to spread something that you have not verified. Meaning you're not a liar, but you haven't verified what you've been told. So a person says something to you, You're not lying, you pass it on, but that makes you a liar. This is in Sahih Muslim. Now who is that whispering that to you, to share, to spread the lakus, sorry, not lakus, al-musawwit, a shaitan, meaning it's a serious thing. Dasim, this is another interesting individual. He commands dwellings. Somebody goes, divorce takes place, domestic violence, this, that, the other. What causes it? Look how amazing. You enter your dwelling, and look how simple the command, and the devastation of not acting upon it. You don't give salam. So you enter. All right, off. All right. Half an hour later, Tyson versus, you know, think of what's going on. Is that shaitan ringing that bell? When you give salam, he hasn't got access. Dasim hasn't got access. The Prophet goes, sorry, Umar radiallahu anhu said, giving salam, mentioning the name of your Lord, protects you from him. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when you enter your dwelling, give salam, this will put blessings into your dwellings. This is in Tirmidhi. And look at that, we can't even give salam. One brother goes, I can't do it. He goes, why? And he goes, you don't know my family. I thought, you can't even give salam. Imagine, I thought, he can't give salam. He goes, no, you, it's hard to explain. I go, there you go, and the Dasim's, you know, whispering, flowing through his blood, saying, for God, don't say it. And you don't say it, next minute, he goes, right, get popcorn out. Next minute, wise, says a few choice words. Your blood pressure goes up. And you go, oh yeah, I forgot to say something. Salaamu alaikum. Next minute, see what happens. And he goes, either separation, divorce, or violence is a result of this. And the famous one, Umar Walhan. Because he whispers in wudu. And we all know about people like this. You know, what are you doing, brother? I just need to wash my hands. You wash your hands. And he goes, no, but what it is, I've got to wash. I've got my nails. You've got to get into my nails. Who said he has to get into your nails? Then he's washing his hands. He's washing his hands and he's going crazy with this. Walahan, ringing that bell. So, look how amazing. All the problems in the world. Who's the one who's ringing the bell? Who are the amirs, the shaykh? And look how interesting. It's not even the main guy. It's shaitan's children who are doing it. Drug barons, music barons. They're the ones they're responding to. Think about that. The shayateen. And Umar radiallahu anhu, who gave you the answers. And this is the beauty of our deen. We've been given the answers. We know what games are being played in the world over. We seek refuge in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the accursed shaitan and his minions. Ameen. Also there's Walahan, you know, he's in wudu. There's another one called Khinzab. There's a companion, Uthman ibn Abi al-As radiyallahu anhu, and he came in Sahih Muslim. He goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I seem to forget when I'm offering salat. My mind wanders, meaning I forget the number of rakats, I get confused in the recital. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, that's khinzab. Look at all these shaitans. And he goes, he's making you remember things. And he goes, if you experience it, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then spit dryly to your left 3 times. When he did that, he came back to the Prophet. He goes, I don't get that problem now. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about that. If shaitan has deputized one of his, you know, men, for wudu khana, and one of his generals for salat, you don't need to know the virtues of those 2 things. Just from that you realize these 2 things greatly troubling. If somebody goes, what's the virtues of wudu? Shaitan's got a shaitan working there. It must be important. He sent one of his generals. Will you send a general just for, you know, like some, like, you know, bachli? You send a general to destroy something which is harming you. What about salat? He sent khinzab. Right, so note, these are the unseen world. And also in salah, when you're offering salat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, stray in your rows, because I can see the shayateen entering in the gaps. And the hadith in Ahmad mentions, they are like black sheep. And look how interesting. You know, if you look at the sheep, they try to enter things. It's one of their mannerisms. There'll be a small hole in a fence, and they try to squeeze through it. And that is exactly how shaitan tries to interfere with your salat. He's looking for weaknesses. So note Sayyidina Umar, he's telling you about shaitan. And not forgetting, many moons ago, he had a wrestling match with shaitan. So he's well acquainted with this, you know, accursed being. And we've been given the amazing formula. Imagine, look how ungrateful we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the greatest protection? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Everybody knows it. Yeah, who taught you that? I seek refuge, or we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the accursed shaitan. This pulverizes him, it weakens him. For instance, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, authentic, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you trips, and you say, you curse the shaitan, damn shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shaitan, he puffs up as big as a house. Meaning, he gets so proud, he goes, look, he's actually believes that I've managed to harm him. Look how, basically look at my power. He's testified. He pops up big as a house. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, however, if you trip and you say Bismillah, he becomes smaller than a fly. And that's the zikr. You know, people, you notice when they fall or trip, they don't do it. One brother was saying, A'udhu billah, brother, mashallah, it's a beautiful statement, but that's not the place you say, A'udhu billah, because I tripped. Shaitan, I don't know, shaitan didn't do anything. Don't start giving shaitan credit for it. He can't do anything, he's just a whisperer. What can he do? Can't even imagine, look how weak shaitan, he can't even push you. And Allah hasn't even given that power, and yet you're saying he did this and he didn't do anything. And what do you immediately say? Bismillah, in the name of Allah. And shaitan is weakened by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another report, it mentions, in Kitab al-Nakhla, page 120. Now, what's this work? It's a work on dead palm trees. The scholars have written books about everything, right? Dead palm trees. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he once received a letter from the Emperor of Rome. And it read, my envoys have informed me that you people have a tree that grows with leaves like the ears of elephants. It bears fruit that appears to be as white as pearls before turning green like emeralds. They say that it then turns red like rubies before it is ready to eat and tastes like a delicious sweet drink. When it dries, it is then harvested and becomes a means of protection for the resident and a provision for the traveler. If my envoys are right, then this is indeed a tree from paradise. So what's the letter? He's basically not told him what it is, Amir al-Mu'mineen. But he's describing dates. The date palm. Look at the blessings Allah has put into it. You can't describe it any better. He goes, it's got the leaves like the ears of elephants. It bears fruit, starts white. Then it goes green. Then it becomes red like rubies. Delicious like a drink. And when it dries, what a perfect provision. He goes, if it's true, it's a tree of paradise. After reading the letter, Sayyidina Umar replied to the letter. And he wrote, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supremely merciful, the most kind. From the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Emperor of Rome. Peace be upon those who follow guidance. Your envoys were right. The tree is the same one that Allah the Almighty created for Maryam during her labor. Radiyallahu. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not regard Isa as your God when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So look how Umar twisted it, radiyallahu. Because he wants to talk about trees. Let's get back to Tawheed. And he says, this tree, you're right, it is blessed. But really, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because the mother of Christ, Allah Ta'ala, gave her the fruits from that tree. And then he goes, stop worshipping Christ. Worship the one who created that tree. Look how beautiful. And this was Sayyidina Umar. You know, he would always get to the point. And this is actually a master stroke in da'wat. When a person's talking to you, asking you about Islam, you redirect it towards what's more important. For instance, you know, brothers work on the stall. They ask you about hijab, they ask you about terrorism, they ask you about this and that. So you just simply, in a beautiful way, with knowledge and hikmah, you bring it back to the more important thing. Whose sunnah are you following? Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu. Amir al-Mu'mineen was referring to Surah Maryam, Surah 19, verse 24 and 25, where it clearly mentions it was a date palm tree that provided sustenance for Lady Maryam. radiallahu. Now look, there's a very interesting hadith here. In Abu Ya'la, in his Musnad number 434, Umdatul Qari, volume 21, page 68, Al-Bidayah and others, our beloved messenger said of the date tree, date palm, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no tree is more honored according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the tree under which Maryam, the daughter of Imran, sat. Subhanallah. No tree is more honored according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the tree under which Maryam, the daughter of Imran radiyallahu anha, sat. Think about that, because this is the best tree. That's why it was given to the one of the best women, if not the best, Maryam radiyallahu. And look at the dates. You know, you look at all the virtues and blessings. It truly is an amazing gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look how interesting, the Roman emperor actually wrote a letter to the Amir al-Mu'mini wanting clarification upon this. But despite the fact it's interesting, he brought it back to Tawheed. Because he worshipped the one who created the tree, a buffoon. Right? Not the one, you know, who's the, you know, who gave... Now what's strange about these people is they don't even worship the mother of their God. You're thinking, well, wait a minute. Who gave birth to Christ? Maryam. Isn't she God? No, she's the mother of God. Mother of God. What does that mean? Not God. She's mother. How can you not be God if you're the mother? What about father? Oh, father's God. Then what about the mother? No, that, she's just like the human counterpart. Astaghfirullah. Look how strange, because they warp beliefs. The other thing about the date tree, I'll mention it more at length tomorrow. But the date tree was actually created from the soil which Adam was created from. It's actually like us. It's made from the same soil. Think about that. And that's why dates, you know, Dr. Hilmi, he said something amazing. I asked him, I goes, doctor, tell me something that'll baffle me. And he goes, one date has got enough nutrition as a box of strawberries. And he said, obviously, he's a doctor, I'm not going to question him. I goes, oh, that's... He goes, yeah, because full boxes, because full box, one day. Then I told him the hadith. He goes, subhanAllah. He goes, yeah, hadith. There you go. And that's why the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he broke the fast with a date. He started his sahri with a date. He gave dates to people. Look at these amazing... Don't think this is not a coincidence. The Prophet was giving this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a complete food. Why? Because it's you. It's your essence. You can live off dates. But not those 3 for 50 pence, and then you might get end up in hospital. So all I discussed today was basically a few blessed reports again from the great Sayyidina Umar radiallahu, where we learn many a valuable lesson. And note, his words of wisdom go on endless. But at the same time, we should be yearning to learn from this most noble and inspired man radiallahu. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر سبحان الله